this morning to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I think about Jesus as my Savior, as my Creator, and then to think about Him as your King, and how you're humbly going to bow before Jesus. And man, just what a lot of focus on Jesus. I don't think you can do enough of that. And man, I love it. My soul has been stirred this morning with the singing. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray. God, I believe we take your word for granted so often as I read the word of God, and it refreshes our souls. And Lord, it brings us back into a perspective of who's in charge, and who's on the throne, and who created all things, Lord God. And we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that Lord, we're fed by the word. Lord, we come here on a Sunday morning and we are fed by the word, by the bread of life, Lord God, Jesus Christ and his word. And God, we thank you for that. Lord God, I think as we sang this morning, Lord God, and we think of those, Lord, that have gone on before us, Lord, we think about the hope of heaven. Lord God, that awaiting, that blessed, glorious hope and time when you reappear. Lord God, if we don't make the rapture, Lord God, then we go in our death, and Lord, we move into new life, the real life, Lord God, that you give from the giver of life. Lord God, I'm looking forward to that day. The scriptures say often, watch, Lord God, and we have one eye watching there, Lord, and then we're living our lives to please you, God. I pray this morning, Lord God, that we would draw closer to you. Lord, we'd be drawn together by the hope of heaven. Lord God, that's what it's about. But Lord God, then to see what you've done. Lord God, your creation. And Lord, how to live our lives. Lord, I thank you for Gilgrove Baptist Church. I thank you for the heritage here, Lord God. I thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Lord God, the reason we are here this morning. Lord, be with us in the message hour. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Appreciate all the music. Man, great music this morning. The congregationals and man, the choir. Give me Jesus. And then, Brother Jason, oh, what a moment. And Mr. Loris, I remember Brother Jerry singing that. Man, just brought back memories of that. And man, just great job on that. And then Mrs. Hayes with Bow the Knee. Man, just some great music this morning. I'll tell you, Mr. Lynch, I'll be honest with you, I was getting a little envious of Ms. Yvonne when we were singing some of those things, man, and just what she's getting to experience now, and man, we look forward to that one day, and what God's going to, we hope, man, pray that he comes and gets us all at once, but if not, man, we'll get to see him one day. Genesis chapter 1, we'll get into that in just a minute. Let me mention just a couple things. Our theme for this year is Jesus, the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, and one of the things we'll talk about throughout this year is keeping, and we mentioned this last Sunday night in our service, keeping Jesus first in all that we do and making sure he has the priority. And really the first and the last, everything in between, all of that, that Jesus should be in our lives, but making sure he is first in priority. What we'll do Sunday mornings, we're going through the book of Genesis. Sunday nights, started this last week, and so we'll see how long I'm able to do this, right? But we'll continue tonight. We'll go start in the book of Revelation. And so we've got the first book and the last book, Genesis and Revelation. So I encourage you to be here tonight as we start to go through. It started a little bit last week. We're going a little more in-depth in the book of Revelation. And what a great book and vision that we get from God there. Also, I encourage you with this. I mentioned this to our church people last couple weeks, I know on Sunday night. But here's something else. As we go into each month, just for 2024, encourage you, again, this is up to you, decision to make on your own, but to take the first day of each month and fast and pray. And we talked a little bit last Sunday night, but just the commitment you would make, and this is between you and God. It does not anything we're going to check up on anything like that, but just to encourage you, 2024, to fast and pray, that give that first day of each month to God. And whenever we fast and pray, it should be something we're doing in particular. We don't just do it to do it. We do it for a reason. And so the institutions God's put in place, we'll talk about those in the book of Genesis, for your home, for your church, and then for government, those three things, to take time and pray, fast and pray, just the first day of each month. And we talked about it last Sunday night, whether that be the full day, whether it be for a meal, whatever. But where you're taking that time that you could do something you enjoy, which if you're like me, I really enjoy eating, something you enjoy, and you put that to the side and say, God, no, this is more important. And so just, again, just something to encourage you to do. We'll do some other things we'll come up with throughout the year that we'll talk about as well. But that's one just for you to sort of mark in your calendar, maybe the first day of each month, starting with February 1st here, and give that over to God and fast and pray. For our country, for our government, for our church, and for the home. So a couple things. We'll mention other things throughout the year. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28. We started this last week, and in verse number 1, and that God is the one that created the heavens and the earth. And well, if we don't start there, there's a reason God put that verse first in the Word of God. And that Word of God that was settled forever in heaven, God had that first for a reason, for us to understand where we came from, who created us. And so we talked about that last week and really went through very quickly. We didn't spend a lot of time on each day or all that God created. But in those first 5 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and then created those creatures that were on the earth. And so most of that was done. We get to day 6, and of course God created the land animals, those that would be on land, the birds and the fish were created on day 5, but on day 6 is when God created land animals. And then what we'll talk about today is sort of the crowning achievement, I guess we'd say, of God's creation. But God created all this for a reason, and He wanted, for some reason, He tells us in His Word, for His pleasure we're created. But God wanted to have fellowship. And that fellowship He wanted to have with a creature that was created that was like God. Wasn't God, but was like God. And so we have here in this passage where we'll talk about this morning. And I tell you, we mentioned last week, the world is looking around for self-esteem and self-worth. Let me tell you where our self-esteem and self-worth comes from. We were created in the image and likeness of God. Hey, I'm created by God. That's what makes me valuable. It's because I was created by God. Each one of us, a unique creation. Aren't you glad there's no two that are exactly alike, right? We have some sets of twins in here, and hard to tell who's who, right? No, none of them really look a whole lot like each other, but we have some sets of, but hey, no two just alike. God created us. God created us as man, number one, in His image and His likeness. You realize this, we're the only thing created in the image and likeness of God. That's it. The animals, the plants, all those things were created by God, were not created in the image and likeness of God. Of course, it tells us in verse number 26, we touched on this a little bit last week, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Who's God talking to? That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. Jesus there at creation, the Holy Spirit there at creation, God the Father at creation. And so they're talking, let us make man our image. And so this morning we were created in the image and likeness of God. An image. By the way, let me look at verses number 11 and 12. As God created the plants and the animals, He had them to bring forth after their kind. In verse number 11 of chapter 1, the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit after His kind. And so they bear fruit after their kind. Same thing in verse number 12, the grass, the herb yielding seed, tree yielding fruit after their kind. In verse number 21, we have the same thing with the animals that were created, the those in the sea and those in the air. And it says in verse 21, after their kind, every winged fowl after their kind. In verse number 24,
living creatures, the creeping things after his kind. And so same thing in verse number 25. So those things God created, they bear fruit, or they bear young that are after they're like them. But those, none of those things, those plants and animals, none of them were created in the image or likeness of God. Only man was. And so man is created in the image and likeness of God. We're in the image of God. An image is a representation. It's not exactly the same, but it's a representation. Man is made in God's image. You know what? Because man is made in God's image, it gives us value. It gives the life of man value. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but hold your place there. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, the first law we have in the Word of God before we ever get to the book of Exodus, and the law is given in Exodus chapter 20. We have a law given by God to Noah after the flood in chapter 9, verse number 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. You know what that is? That's capital punishment. You know why capital punishment is right? It's not because of politically. No, it's because that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's why capital punishment is right. That's why those that are against God and against the Word of God want to get rid of that and go against that. Let me tell you something. That's what God put in place. If you shed man's blood, then your blood should be shed. You say, well, that devalues. No, that values life. That values life is what it is. Most of y'all know the story, and I've thought about this. We were driving down this week to Emporia there on Wednesday, and we passed Jarrett, Virginia, and I was talking to Mom, and she was with us, and that's where the man who killed my aunt, my mom's sister, almost 30 years ago, and that's where he was executed. He was executed right there. And you know what? He should have been executed. He was executed according to the law, and I'm so thankful, by the way, to Governor Allen, who was very instrumental in getting that done. It was that out of vengeance or no, because that's what the Bible says to do. That's what the Bible says to do. And so, and the reason is given to us there in verse number 6. Why? For in the image of God made he man. Right? In the image of God made he man. That's why human life is so important, because we were created in the image of God. Now, I'm not saying the other, you have all these animal lovers, and we'll talk about animals here in a little bit. All right, and all of us, there's all of us who have killed an animal at some point, right? Some of you that are deer hunters, some of you that like to shoot at deer, some of you actually hit deer. Some of you that are deer searchers with your car, all right? But you probably killed something this week. You ever stepped on a bug? You ever, any snake hunters in there? You killed a snake and sort of enjoyed doing it, you know? Hey, you know what? Now listen, I'm not, the Bible, in fact, the Bible tells us, you go to Proverbs, and I won't turn there, hopefully I can remember, Proverbs chapter 12, it says, Proverbs 12, 10 says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. In other words, somebody's righteous is going to treat the animals right too, okay? So we're not trying to be cruel to animals. Maybe cats, all right? But outside of cats, not be cruel to animals. We're not talking about that. Because, and a lot of times, somebody, that'll show up in something else they do. But I tell you what, let me just, because the world's crazy. There's a difference between animals and plants and man. Man's created in the image of God. Now, I'm going to do everything I can not to hit that squirrel as it goes back and forth, but I'm not risking my life for it. He's got one chance. All right, if he wants to get out of my way, that's fine. But I'm not hitting the brakes and skidding all over the road trying to avoid that squirrel. He's going to have to make that decision. Hey, you know what? There's a difference. God created man in his image and likeness, and that gives us value. You know, because man is created with an eternal soul, some that's going to live forever somewhere. Genesis 5, verse 3 says, Adam had a son in his image. As Adam sinned, and then that sin nature was passed down. And, of course, it tells us in the New Testament about Jesus, the second Adam, right, comes because the first Adam sinned. And we'll get into more of that in the next couple of weeks. But let me help you understand something. Man is made. He was created by God in his image and likeness. That likeness is a spiritual likeness. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. That's what man was created, the image of God. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And again, talking about our behavior, how we should treat each other. And this is not the main intent of this verse. It's talking about your tongue and making sure you use that tongue correctly. Verse 9, well, we should not use that tongue against others. So, but verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, James chapter 3, verse 9, and therewith curse we men. We're using our tongue to bless God and curse men. We shouldn't do that. Why? Because those men are made after the similitude of God. It's important I treat other people right because they are made in the image and likeness of God. That's what gives me value this morning. I was made in God's image. I'm telling you, there's no way you can continue to teach children and to teach adults that they came from animals and give them some value there. No, the value we have is we were created by God in His image and in His likeness. That's our value. And because of that value, because we were created in the image and likeness of God, then what happens? That spiritual likeness was broken when Adam sinned, and so God sent a Savior to restore us back to fellowship with Him. So now what can we do? If you're saved this morning, we're trying to do what? Be like Christ. Right? We're trying to be like Him. Why? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. As that fellowship is restored through salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the end of the chapter, verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What God changes day by day by day to be more like Christ. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Most of you know this verse already. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know what? We were made, we were created this morning. You were created. I don't care how old, how young you are. You were created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And that makes us different. That makes us special this morning. And so back to Genesis chapter 1. God created man first in His image and in His likeness. Everything else had been created. He creates man different than all the other parts of creation created in the image and likeness of God. And then secondly, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. God created man in His image and likeness, and God created man to have dominion over all the earth. God put man in place to have dominion over the rest of the earth, over the plant life, over the animal life, over all that the earth is. God put man in place to have dominion over all the earth. And as He does that, and what does He say? God says later on in a couple verses, in verse 31, He saw everything He made. Behold, it was very good. God made the earth. God made everything that was on there. And then He made man to have dominion over the earth, over every living thing, over every creeping thing. There's a reason this morning that man is running the world. Now, I'm going to say man's doing a great job with it, right, sometimes, but not animals, not the plants. We don't leave it to them. We were What was my 7th, 8th grade talking in World History this week about the emperor who put his horse in the cabinet, right? That horse may do a better job than some we have there today, right? But it's not animals that have been put in charge. And again, we're not advocating, but understand where we are. I was, I've told the story before, but I still remember, I don't know, 10, 11 years old, and we had our dog, Belle, all right, a border collie. Belle was a pretty good dog. But Belle liked to, as dogs do, like to jump up. So we tried to teach her not to jump up on people, all right? So we're trying to teach her that. So what my dad did was this. He gave me a rolled-up newspaper with some rubber bands around it. And when Belle would jump up on me, then I would spank her. And I got to take out all the spankings I got on my dog, all right? And, you know, Belle would just, be honest with you, Belle never really learned. She wasn't the smartest dog in the world, but she just kept jumping on me anyway. But I was on my porch, 10, 11 years old, and I'm there, and I don't know, I just remember, and I'm wailing away on Belle. My next-door neighbor's outside on his porch. And they had a couple children, I think. I don't know. I can't remember the ages. A little younger than I was. And I don't. And he, who knows? Anyway, he looks over. Hey, I'm gonna call the SPCA on you. Well, I went in and let Dad know. Dad went for a visit. I never heard anything from him again. Never heard that. Dad went over and let him know, never, ever to say that. Hey, I'm not advocating this morning. You need to go, but understand something. God gave us creation to have dominion. We live in a crazy world. We have dominion over those things, all right? We have dominion over the earth. We have dominion. You get so tired of hearing the world, climate change. Hey, let me tell you something. I know from the Bible what's going to happen to this earth. It's all going to be destroyed. I can tell you that, all right? And it's not because man did. God's going to take care of it. And you hear all this junk, and I tell you what happens, though, and I find this out in my conversations with people. We think, everybody thinks like we do, and yet they listen to the world around them, and we got people that they're thinking these things are normal. No, God gave us the earth to have dominion over it. That's why God gave it to us. And so man is supposed to have dominion over the earth, over everything that's on there, over every creeping thing. Not only have dominion over it, look at verse number 28. It says to subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's not an accident that humans run the world, all right? That's what's supposed to happen. And we're supposed to have dominion. And, so, and I'm telling you, your kids, they get this education of that goes against what the Word. That's what the Word of God teaches. God created man in His image and His likeness. God created man to have dominion over the earth. That's what God did. Created the earth and then created man to have dominion over it. And then look at verse number 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created to him male and female created He them. God created man in the image and likeness of God. God created man to have dominion over the earth, and God created man to be male and female. God did not create man to be male and male. Male and female. My Bible says homosexuality is an abomination unto the Lord. And God did not create man to be homosexual. God did not create man and man. In fact, God gives us the first command of God. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You know, homosexuals cannot be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Homosexuality goes against the first command of God. Let me tell you something. And we can jump on that, and we know that's true according to the Word of God. And I would imagine most of you, if not everybody here this morning, is in agreement with that. I sure hope so. And I teach my children. God didn't create man and man. He created man and woman. He created male and female. And God gave a command to multiply. What's the difference between the homosexual who can't have children and a heterosexual who won't have children? My Bible says be fruitful and multiply. Now, like Dad would say, it doesn't mean you have to do it all by yourself. All right? But I do say this. If we have couples making decisions, I'm not going to have children because it's not convenient, that goes against the Word of God. Okay? I'm talking about those who have health issues. I'm not talking about those who can't and would love to be able to have children. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about those women who have health issues. I'm not talking about. What I'm talking about is this. Those women that put their career in front of their family. God said, multiply. And you're going to do, hey, I know couples where husbands have told their wives, we're not having any more children. I want you to go back to work so we can make some money. Hey, that's wrong. God said multiply. Also, my Bible still says women are supposed to be discreet, chaste keepers at home. Now, I'm going to give you truth this morning from the Word of God. That's my responsibility, is to preach the Word of God. But I'm telling you this morning, if we're not willing to come under the Word of God, we're supposed to multiply. Now, I'm not talking about your spirituality is not measured by how many children. I'm not talking about that at all. But I am saying this, we're supposed to do what the Word of God says, and God said be fruitful and multiply. That may be one or two or three, whatever. I don't know what God's given you, whatever God gives you. I know this. God gave us four children. Never complained about any of that because every child I have, I know the only way I had that child was God gave it to me. That's it. There's only two things in life I know God did. And that's one of them. And so whether I'm not talking this point, well, you only have one child. But I'm telling you this. If you make decisions based on what you want over what God says, then that's an issue. When we go against the Word of God. And so that those that God has given the opportunity to be fruitful and multiply. Hey, while we're at it, I'll hit it again next week. But I'm not trying to make anybody mad. But while I'm here, let me hit this too. Hey, I'm against, and what you know, I'm against same-sex marriage. To be honest with you, no such thing. God does not recognize that, okay? World can recognize it all they want to. But I'm against same-sex marriage. And that is, again, that's an abomination to God. That's wrong. We've got another generation that needs to be taught that. I'm against same-sex marriage. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you where the problem started. Hey, you know, when John F. Kennedy was president, there was one state, Nevada, that allowed no-fault divorce. One. And you know what the problem is? The problem is marriage has been broken down because of divorce. And because of shacking up, living with people you're not married with. That's what's broken down. So go ahead and complain about the homosexuals, but let me tell you where it started. When we took marriage and made a sham of marriage. That's where the problem is. And until we get to back to where we understand what the Word of God says about marriage between a man and a woman, and we quit the shacking up and living together, and we quit the divorce. Now, I'm going to tell you, I got divorced in the past. God forgave that. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty this morning. God has used so many people in this church. Now, I'm going to talk about that. What I am talking about to these young people right here, they know what's right according to the Word of God. And yes, we were created male and female, not male and male. Verse number 27, again, it says, male and female created he them. The Bible does not say male that becomes female or female that becomes male. That's not what God created. You know what the problem? Our whole transgender movement is a movement against God's creation. You understand this morning? There's a difference between the male and a female that God put in place. There's a difference there. There's a difference mentally. I mean, men, you can think like women. You need to get up here and preach, all right? Hey, there's a difference mentally. There's a difference between the way a man thinks and the way a woman thinks. There's a difference. There's a difference there mentally. And I would say, in dealing with young people and children and all that, usually the mental capacity, the women are up here and the men are down here, all right? But there's a difference. Hey, let me tell you something. When it comes to the lust of the eyes, women, you cannot know how men think. Hey, that's why when a young lady is not dressed properly, is dressed immodestly, I blame that dad because he knows. He knows. He should be saying, no, you're not walking out of the house like that. I'm not having men lusting after you because you know the mind of a man. Women don't know it. They can guess at it, but they don't understand it. Hey, there's a difference mentally. There's a difference emotionally in men and women. All right, some of you men, look, some story. Get your wife crying. You're sitting back there, and then you go to the back room and cry by yourself, right? All right. But there's a difference there, all right? There's a difference that man, that urge to protect there. My wife comes, I don't hide under the bed. I run in the closet. You can get hurt trying to get under that bed, you know? Close the door in the closet. But hey, there's a difference emotionally. There's a difference. There's a difference physically. I get so tired of this today, okay? And I'm not male and female created them. Oh, you can do anything they can do. No, you can't. I'm sorry, men. We cannot bear children. And thank God for that, all right? I'm not wanting to be front of the line on that. Look, we wouldn't have one if it had been up to me, right? Hey, goodness, who was telling? Oh, Mrs. Aldrich. 4 children. What? 8, 9, 10, and 11 pounds. Whoa, man. And she had a couple more after the 11 pounder. I went, whoo, I'm done. Hey, listen, we're different. Men and women are created. We're created male and female. There's a difference there. And even I'm talking about Christian. Oh, these girls, they can do anything the guys can do. No, they can't. Sorry, they can't. Did y'all read about this? This is last year. I looked this back up. End of March last year. It's in Canada. Y'all may have heard the story. And there's this male that transitioned to a female, and for like 4 years in a row was breaking all the powerlifting records, the women's powerlifting records. And so, and in fact, set the women's powerlifting record there in Canada by bench pressing 275 pounds. But you know, we were y'all were telling me the game, right? The other night we played team Thursday. Hey, Gowan was big, and they said he could bench press what, 285? Said he could bench. I can do 2/3 of that. I can do the 85 part. I just can't get that 2. All right, but I can do that. But so this this man, the transitioned woman, set the record too. So the guy that was the coach, I think of the men's power, being a coach of the powerlifters there in Canada, got frustrated with this. And this is as that person, the person that had lifted 275 that had the record, was volunteering at this event. So this this guy, full beard, all right? And the rule was all you had to do is go and say, hey, I'm identifying as a woman. That's all you had to do, nothing else. Didn't have any proof, nothing. Didn't have to do nothing. That's all you had to do. So that's what he did. So he went up, said, hey, I'm going to identify as a woman today. Goes, sits down, puts up 375 without even trying, sets a new record, walks out. You know how ludicrous that is? And interesting, though, by the way, we don't have any, as you watch this transgender stuff, you have these men that especially in these individual things, they're competing in the women's thing. Yeah, we don't have any women trying to compete in the individual men's events, right? It's not like this woman, okay, I'm going to run track with the men. No, I don't do that. It's all these men. Makes you wonder a little bit about their motives, right? Makes you wonder. And I'm telling you, we live in a crazy world today that would even entertain that. But you know why? They're going against what God said. God created male and female. Now, hold on a second. Don't get too mad at me. I know it's Sunday morning. But 2 days before that article, at the end of March, there's an article that came out. I did not read it. I couldn't. I just couldn't make myself, couldn't bring myself to do it. But I did see the title. It says this: men's skirts are ready for the mainstream. Now, I have not worn a skirt before. Okay, a lot of reasons for that. I don't look very good in them, all right? But let me tell you something. I remember through the decades a preacher that stood up here, my dad, and said the reason that men don't wear skirts is because culture has not accepted it yet. That's why. And there's going to come a day when culture accepts it. Let me tell you something. I read this probably 10, 11 years ago. Laura Bush, I didn't read the whole book. She wrote a book, read bits and pieces of it. But when she was in college in the mid-60s at Southern Methodist University, SMU, the dress code there was women had to have skirts and dresses that were below the knee. That was the dress code at Southern Methodist University in the 1960s. I looked it up again this week because I wanted to see what Southern Methodist University said about it. And as I looked up stuff about them, it said that in the mid-60s, 1965, 67, somewhere, they got rid of their anachronistic dress policies for women. I thought, what is anachronistic? I don't even know what that means. You know what it means? Old-fashioned. Old-fashioned. Big word for old-fashioned. There was a day when not just from this pulpit, but all the pulpits around here where they preached a distinction between the way a woman dresses and the way a man dresses. I'm telling you. And we can get mad at the transgenders, but I'll tell you where it starts is when there's not a distinction between a man and a woman. I don't want my children to have any doubt if daddy's a man. So I'm not putting on a skirt. Okay? Not. Not growing my hair and getting a perm. I'm not doing it. Okay? I don't want any doubt. But I tell you what's happened in our world. We've gotten away from what the Word of God teaches, and there is a difference between men and women. And I remember hearing Dad say over and over again, we start to mar that distinction. We're giving comfort to the homosexuals. Hey, God created us man and woman, male and female. And I tell you this, the more I live, God created me in His image and likeness. I want to be more like Christ. I want there to be a distinction between the way the world lives and the way I live. Not to get to heaven. Let me tell you, there's nothing to do with my salvation. Zero. What I look like on the outside, what I act like on the outside, what I do, all that has nothing to do with whether I'm going to heaven or not. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. He saved me from my sins. That's it. But if I'm saved this morning, I want to be more like Him. And I tell you this, I found this in my life. The older I get, I want my children to see even more of a distinction between men and women. So they know, hey, daddy's a man. Daddy's a man. Mommy's a woman. And that's, listen, that's different. My daughter asked me the other day. She said, Daddy, what's a lady? What's a lady? I said, well, honey, not all women are ladies. They're not. They're all ladies. I said, not all ladies are women. I said, not all women are ladies. And those ladies take all different kinds of personalities. We heard that on Wednesday, and I still remember Mr. Lynch hearing Mrs. Lynch's voice on there, answer machine, get saved. That's how she said it, get saved. Let me tell you what Mrs. Lynch was. She was a lady. She was a lady. And I'm thankful for those examples I've had, a distinction there. Hey, this morning, we look around the world. This world is crazy. And they come in here this morning and listen to this message and say, you're crazy. I understand that. But I can't. I've got to preach what God's word says. That's what I got to preach. And my Bible says God created male and female. He created male and female. Hey, this morning, you're special because God created you. God created you in his image and likeness. God created you to have dominion, and God created you male and female. Thank God for what he made you this morning. And thank God that as he created us, he didn't just leave us, that he gave us a Savior. So this morning, I can get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you bless us this morning. Lord, again, help us to realize the truth of the Word of God as best we can. And Lord, you know my heart, my love for the people here at Gilgore Baptist Church. I thank you so much for them. What a great, greatest people, I think, in the world. And Lord, I love them. But I know that I must preach the truth. It's not always easy. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to search the Word of God, search the Scriptures, search our hearts, and realize there's a world around us that has gone crazy, gone crazy. And it gives us an opportunity more than ever before for there to be a difference between the church and the world. Lord, help us to be excited about what you've done in creating us male and creating us female, in creating us to have dominion, in creating us in your image and likeness. And Lord, just help us as your children just to seek to be more like you in all areas of our life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody's standing with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around. And, hey, let me tell you this morning, your value is not what you look like on the outside. Your value is not what clothes you have on or what your hair looks like or where you live. No, your value this morning is the fact that you are created in the image and likeness of God. That's your value. And not only are you created in the image and likeness of God, but God, because you were in his image and likeness, sent his Son to die on the cross for you. There has been blood shed for your sins. That gives you value. The cost for your eternal life. And if you're saved this morning, you have a value like no other. God paid for it. He paid for it. If you're here this morning, you say this, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. There's not a doubt in my mind. Salvation comes not through what we are on the outside. No, it comes through the heart. Let me tell you something this morning. The only way you can know for sure you're on the way to heaven is if you've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. If you say, I've done that this morning, we just slip here up and say, I know I'm saved, and you put your hand right back down. If you're this morning, you say this, say, I'm not sure about my eternal destination. My eternal destination. Say, I'm just not sure if I was to die today. We had the service for Mrs. Lynch this week. We know she's in heaven because of her testimony of salvation. We say, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. If you're like this morning, I won't embarrass you at all, I promise you that. But just, if you just slip here and say, pray for me this morning, I'm not sure about my salvation, just pray for me. If you're not sure, take care of that. Make sure you know. And let me tell you something this morning. What's important in our life is what's on the inside. And what's on the inside is going to show up on what's on the outside. But me trying to do right on the outside for someone else because someone else tells me to, no. I should do right because that's what the Word of God says, and that should start in my heart and then show up in the way I live. And what we've seen in our nation, what we've seen in churches, what we've seen in pulpits, is men getting away from the Word of God, and so it changes their heart. And this morning, search the Scriptures, search your heart. That's what I need to do, search my heart so that I can make sure I'm doing everything I can to honor and please my Creator. As the music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
Sorry, I'm going a little longer today, so I'll let you out a little later, but I will make it up to you. Man, just thanks so much. What a great church family. I love you. And my responsibility is to love you and to preach the Word of God. I want to do the both of those. That's what I'm supposed to do. Be back tonight. Revelation. We'll start in there tonight. So, man, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just a commercial real quick. As I told y'all, I preached the book of Job 1 year, 2019, and then COVID hit after that, so we could put all that in practice. So, I'm preaching Revelation. When I get done, who knows? All right, who knows? We may be gone. We may be gone. But that'd be great. That'd be great. All right, I'd love to be preaching on it as we go. So that'd be wonderful. Maybe be back tonight. Be back tonight. See if tonight's tonight, right? So be back for that. And so thankful for you being here today. Brother Keith Swinney, why don't you close in prayer for me?